Our sermon text for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came out to him crying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer her a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt down before him. "Lord, help me," she replied. And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You may be seated. What would be a good way for us to define faith? Well, a couple examples that we can use is when we came into the sanctuary this morning, we had faith that the roof would not fall down on our heads. Or better yet, when we sat in the chairs in the pews, we had faith that the people who constructed these chairs would build them good enough to hold our own weight. But what happens when we have no physical connection, when there is no physical element attached? How do we describe faith? Even though there may be no physical presence visible to us, the Holy Spirit gives us in our hearts the assurance that we know the Lord is always there for us. Even though we don't see him, his promise is with us every step of our earthly journey. As the Lord says in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, "Never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you." And again in Matthew chapter 28, "For lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." The Holy Scriptures tell us that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Now you have to admit, if you have ever seen a mustard seed, that seed is pretty small. Can you imagine what you could do with something larger? Great faith, like the faith of the Canaanite woman, is also a means that we can come before God with a humble heart. To have great faith means we have to submit ourselves and all that we have to God. Great faith means we see ourselves as being totally dependent on Jesus and his will for our lives. When we become a follower of Christ, we also encounter something we often don't expect: difficulties and challenges. Because Satan, our enemy, will like to throw fiery darts our way in order to keep us off balance. This is perhaps what happened to the Canaanite woman's daughter in our passage. The story of the Canaanite woman could well have been titled "The Tough Test of Faith," because in James, the first chapter, we read, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. This woman was from the region of Tyre and Sidon, where the Phoenicians dwelt. Her daughter was grievously afflicted by demon possession. She must have heard somehow the wonderful things what Jesus could do, and she followed him and his disciples, crying desperately for help. She was acquainted with the faith and the hope of Israel, as her words clearly indicate. She confessed to Jesus to be the Messiah. Her petition is, "Lord, have mercy on me." Notice she says "me," because she regards her daughter's misfortune as her own. Mothers and fathers alike can relate to this, to the concern, because when your child is hurting, you hurt too. Whatever the daughter's symptoms were, the mother was desperate for her to be healed, to be set free from this terrible state. In her desperation, she had hope. Not hope in the folk cures and remedies she probably had tried before. Not hope in the best medical advice of the day, but hope in the God of Israel, hope in the Messiah, God's chosen one. This hope was expressed by faith without shame. Many times we can be afraid to let our faith be known. Sometimes we don't want to stand out. Sometimes we just want to be polite and not talk about religion. Sometimes we don't want the added scrutiny that comes when people realize we are followers of Christ Jesus. But this woman was different. She lived out a faith that came from having nothing left to lose, a desperate faith. She approached this band of disciples and their leader, Jesus. She called out to them from a distance, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." As she cried out for mercy and faith, she believed with an unwavering hope that Jesus was the one who could make a difference. In Christ, there would be both forgiveness and healing for her and her daughter. She didn't care about the things that often make us ashamed. She had a faith of desperation, a faith without shame, a faith filled with hope and determination. This is why Jesus commended her when he said, "Woman, you have great faith." This should make us think about our faith. Does it come out of desperation, or does our faith rise out of a confidence that Jesus is the only one who can bring meaning to our lives, the only one who can bring true spiritual and emotional healing, the only one to whom our lives are worth devoting? Or is our faith just a casual thing, something that we do on occasion because it's expected? The Canaanite woman's faith was without shame because she knew that Jesus was her only hope. She didn't care what others expected. In her petition, she does not dictate to Christ what she needs, but rather she came before Christ and approached the throne of grace with a humble heart. "Have mercy on me," she cried. Certainly, this is a most beautiful, earnest, humble, and exemplary prayer. At first, Jesus seemed to pay her no attention. Consider Jesus' response as he answered her not a word. Jesus acted as if he didn't even hear her. She cried out, but Jesus didn't say a word. What a discouragement this must have been. The Canaanite woman did not give up hope, but rather waited patiently as she offered her petition to Jesus with great determination. Undeterred by our Lord's silent reply, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." It reminds me of the story of my youngest son when he was 4 years old. We had him buckled up in the back seat of the car, along with his older brother, and we were taking a long trip. I believe at that time we were probably going down to the Wisconsin Dells. About every other mile, my son would ask, "Are we almost there, Daddy? Have we almost gotten there? Are we about there yet, Mommy?" Exasperated, Joette finally turned to him and said, "No, son, we're not almost there. It will take a very long time before we get there." As time passed in silence and he could no longer restrain himself, he finally changed his question and he said, "Mommy, when we get there, will I still be 4 years old?" And when I look back now, and I see that my son is older, I'm sorry. That seems like a long time ago. But just as my son was not patient, we too want to say, "Lord, hurry up. Come on now." We'd rather rush him for an answer rather than waiting patiently through the silence as the Canaanite woman did. At this point, the disciples and many of us get a little uncomfortable. The Lord knew what he was doing, and he heard her. Therefore, he didn't answer her. He was pleased with her, and he strengthened her through her petition, even though immediately he had not given her an answer. Her faith endured. When the disciples, annoyed and perhaps embarrassed by her, said to Jesus, "Send her away," the reaction of the disciples was not really compassionate at all. To them, the woman was a nuisance, and all they wanted was to be rid of her as quickly as possible. To grant a request to get rid of a person who may become a nuisance is a common enough reaction, but it is a very different response from a Christian. Love and mercy that is filled with love and compassion would be the only answer. One would think that when she heard Christ's answer to the disciples, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," that her hopes would have been completely dashed. But she did not doubt, but kept her cry for mercy. Doubt is often a tool that Satan will use in our lives. It often surfaces when we choose to look at our circumstances rather than look at his promise. It can be a test of faith when we are brought to question whether or not those among us for whom Christ was sent. are part of his promise. But now look at her faith as she puts all doubt aside. The disciples accepted the Lord's answer, but she refused to do so. Still, her faith would not waver. There is no doubt what would keep her from seeking God's grace. Jesus was moved with compassion for this woman, and we cannot doubt that for a moment. But she was a Gentile. Not only was she a Gentile, but she belonged to the old Canaanite stock, and the Canaanites were the ancestral enemies of the Jews. There was only one thing for him to do. He must show her how important it is to be totally and completely dependent on him. At this point, we see something more about her faith. She continued in faith and would not faint. Not only does she have a faith without shame, but there is faith without fear. She was not afraid of Jesus and the disciples. She threw herself down at Jesus' feet in total worship. With nothing to lose, she showed a relentless dependence on Jesus. Without shame or fear, she fell at Jesus' feet and again asked, "Lord, help me." This woman did not let Jesus' lack of response stop her. On top of faith without shame or fear, she showed faith without stopping, a faith that didn't quit. She bowed down at Jesus' feet, and he told her something very strange when Jesus spoke these words. "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Everyone there, including the disciples and the woman, knew what Jesus meant. He was saying, in effect, it isn't good to take the blessing meant for the children of Israel and give it to the Gentiles. This was perhaps the toughest test of all, the test of unworthiness. Who do we stand with when we hear Jesus' words? Do we stand with the disciples, who probably agreed and said, "Jesus has a point, we should take care of our own"? Or do we find ourselves at Jesus' feet with the woman saying, "Yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table"? Her response is quick. She knew herself as deserving nothing. Yet, with faith, she could see that with a mere crumb from the rich table Jesus was preparing, she would be well supplied. At the feet of Jesus, the woman is saying, "Lord, I know your blessings are for the entire world. I know your blessing is so great that I'll gladly take the leftovers and be satisfied." This is the kind of faith that we need to have, totally and completely dependent on God. The kind of faith where we are not afraid to pray and ask God for something. A faith of confidence, of faith of conviction, of faith of perseverance. She exhibits a spirit of faith, which no doubt gave Jesus joy. At this final response from the woman, whose faith won't quit, Jesus is no longer able to conceal his compassionate love. Until now, he had hidden his face from her, but at this point, he says, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The faith of all the saints is precious without exception, yet it varies in strength. What a blessing it is to have a faith that won't quit. rather than having a faith that gives up when we don't see a quick response. Great faith is seen here as constant and resolute. When we acknowledge Jesus Christ as the all-sufficient Savior, even in the face of discouragements. When we humbly bow before the throne of grace, we recognize how completely and utterly dependent we are on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Canaanite woman was a great faith because she could see her need for Jesus. She began by following. She ended upon her knees. She began with a request, and she ended in a prayer. This woman came because Jesus was not a possible helper for her. He was her only hope. Although faith that is weak is not rejected, great faith is commended and well-pleasing to Christ. Most importantly, God can produce strength and preserve faith. So the most wonderful revelation of this story is not just knowing that the woman believed Jesus could heal her daughter, but also knowing that she came to realize her need for Jesus. That is the fruit of a saving faith. Having been brought to know him to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Faith is not our discovery. It is not something that we do. Rather, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us faith in our hearts. And we receive that faith at our baptism. Faith is God's gift to us so that we might know him and share the miracles of his love with others. Faith grows as we walk with God and we explore his promises. Faith does not presume that God will give us what we want, but rather faith is confidence that God will give us what we need in Christ. God's word of promise in Hebrews tells us in chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your lives from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you." Whether we are given a chance of healing and a productive life, or life that declines unto a blessed end, faith accepts God's will in all things. We humbly ask for healing in a prayer of confidence in God's compassion. And while often our prayers are granted as we desire, it is just as often answered as wait or even no, not yet. This is to train us to pray, "Not my will, but yours be done." Persistent faith gives Christ joy, as we find in Hebrews 12, chapter 6. "For without faith it is impossible to please God." Yes, God gave you faith in baptism through the Holy Spirit as a gift. It only takes what he has already given you to move a mountain. What God does for us in response to our request is not because we have earned it or because we deserve anything. Therefore, let God decide the timing and the means. And as we go forward through this difficult time, let us depend totally and completely on the strength that God provides us. What God does is because of his love and grace. Our faith is strengthened through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, which he provided for us upon the cross in the empty tomb. He tells us that when we are in need, we are to come to his throne of grace, that we might find his help. The Bible says this in Hebrew 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To God be the glory. Amen.